You're listening to Micron, a one-man podcast with weekly episodes about life, learning, laughter, and the people who make this world an interesting place. I am your host, the writer, editor, and producer, the man with the mic, Ron Stauffer. Micron is a podcast by me, but it isn't about me. It's about what I've seen, lessons I've learned, things I've tried or discovered, things I've failed at, and, most importantly, it's about the people I've met along the way. This series is all about Richard Wagner's operatic tetralogy, The Ring Cycle. In 2018, for my senior year in college, I flew to San Francisco to cover the San Francisco Opera's production of the massively popular, mind-blowingly long, and astonishingly expensive event where four operas in a row were performed to a sold-out audience over a period of 6 days. I covered the event as a reporting exercise for one of my journalism courses. This included writing a concert review for the shows I attended, sharing my research into just how massive The Ring Cycle is as an artistic production, and finally, writing an article explaining how Wagner's Ring Cycle has impacted our culture and most of Western music, even in ways most people don't realize. This is episode 2 of 3, where I'll read my article describing a bit of history on the Ring Cycle and try to give you a sense of just how ridiculously difficult it was for the composer to create it, finance it, and stage it, and how, to this day, it's still staggeringly complex, costly, and labor-intensive to perform. Once again, I know that reading a college paper doesn't sound very exciting, but I'll try to make it interesting. Actually, I think it will be more than interesting. The Ring Cycle is captivating, absorbing, even spellbinding. Really, am I using enough superlatives? Just wait, I'm only getting started. The Ring is a gigantic work of art. It's comparable to the complete works of Shakespeare, or the Sistine Chapel ceiling of Michelangelo, or of any of the greatest monuments of art. Terence McEwen. Thus begins a narrated recording of Richard Wagner's Ring Cycle, which was provided by the San Francisco Opera exclusively to season ticket holders before the company's June 2018 performance of the work. McEwen, now deceased, was the former general director of the San Francisco Opera. He is not alone in his high praise of Wagner's magnum opus. King Ludwig II of Bavaria, a contemporary of the German composer, was his greatest admirer and most generous patron, and wrote an even higher compliment in a letter to Wagner after viewing the final dress rehearsal of the original Ring Cycle in 1876. I quote, "You are a God-man, the true artist by God's grace who brought the sacred fire down from heaven to earth to purify, to sanctify, and to redeem. The God-man who truly cannot fail and cannot err." In the book Being Wagner, The Story of the Most Provocative Composer Who Ever Lived, published in 2018, author Simon Callow shares this and more of Ludwig's nearly idolatrous outbursts of praise for the magnificent and massive artistic work that is The Ring Cycle. The Ring Cycle is a tetralogy, a collection of four operas written by Wagner and performed in sequence within 1 week. The four operas are Das Rheingold, Die Walküre, Siegfried, und Gute Dämmerung, or in English, The Rheingold, The Valkyrie, Siegfried, and Twilight of the Gods. Each opera grows progressively longer, and when all four are combined, the work lasts for at least 16 hours. Das Rheingold, at least in the San Francisco Opera's 2018 production, lasts 2 hours and 35 minutes. The final opera, Gute Dämmerung, clocks in at a shocking 5 hours and 10 minutes. Anyone familiar with the stereotype of operas being lengthy, pretentious, grand spectacles that are overly dramatic, ridiculous in scope, and cost prohibitive to stage will find that The Ring Cycle is all of those things. In fact, The Ring Cycle is the quintessence of mammoth stage productions. It includes everything you can imagine: costly stage props, silly wigs, fake blood, live animals, sword fighting, a dragon, pyrotechnics, and more. When it's all over, a fat lady even sings. Yes, that fat lady, the one of cliches and Bugs Bunny cartoons, with the spear and the Viking helmet. Wagner's approach was so ambitious, he rejected calling his compositions operas, preferring instead to use the term Gesamtkunstwerks, or total works of art in English. The Ring Cycle is world famous for its record-breaking scope and magnitude. As a collection of operas, the work is by far the lengthiest operatic production ever written. The Ring Cycle is also big. Big in its demand for elaborate stage sets, big in scene changes, and especially big in the number of performers it requires. Hyperbole nearly fails to convey just how big the San Francisco Opera's production was this summer. For Gute Dämmerung, the final opera in the tetralogy, the cast on stage consisted of 12 principal singers, 77 choristers, and 11 supernumeraries, who are non-singing actors. Under the stage, in the orchestra pit, there were 89 instrumentalists, not including the 2 French horn players and the 3 trombonists playing backstage to create an echo effect. If you're counting, that's 194 active performers on, under, or behind the stage. Perhaps the composer was right, and total work of art is, in fact, the only suitable term to describe it all. The story within the opera is also massive. It's a tale of gods and goddesses, love, murder, lust, curses, magic spells, power, jealousy, life, death, and of course, a ring made of gold that makes the wearer invincible and sometimes invisible. Keeping track of all the various characters in the tale can be difficult. Each act introduces new characters and also refers back to others from past acts and past operas. It's so easy to get lost trying to remember all the relationship dynamics that the San Francisco Opera provided patrons with a downloadable Genealogy of the Ring chart. On it, you can see a graphic representation of each character and how everyone intersects with each other. The gods, the mortals, the Norns, the Valkyries, the giants, the Nibelungs, the Rhine Maidens, the Gibbichungs, and a little forest bird, They're all part of one giant dysfunctional family tree. Staging a ring cycle is so ambitious, it often takes the collaboration of more than one opera company to pull it off. Co-productions between opera companies are frequent and sometimes necessary. A sharing of staff, lighting, costuming, stage props, and more can lower the barrier to a successful staging. This year's Ring Cycle by the San Francisco Opera was a co-production with the Washington National Opera in Washington, D.C., and included the same director and the same basic staging and props. But even if an opera company has all the necessary logistics in place to stage a Ring Cycle, there's still the added challenge that the music of Wagner is notoriously difficult to sing. An interview published in USA Today in 2017 illustrates this brilliantly. In Why an Opera Singer Has to Train Like an Athlete to Hit Every Note, writer Maggie Hendricks interviews J. Mark Stambaugh, a composition professor at Manhattan School of Music. He says, quote, "There's a whole genre of Wagner singers that are known as Wagnerian singers. They spend their career singing this repertoire, and you have to be a special kind because of the demands of it physically and because of the kind of voice that sings a Wagner opera. It's very different than if you see a lighter Italian opera." Close quote. The Houston Grand Opera in Texas recently completed their very first Ring Cycle in 2017, taking 4 seasons to complete it. In an article posted to their website called Just the Fox, Ma'am, Eric Skelly writes about the specifics of Wagnerian performers. Note, the article's title is a play on words referring to the German voice classification system called Fox. Quote, "Wagner's huge orchestras require singers of the very heaviest voice types to be heard through the dense orchestration of works like Tristan und Isolde, Parsifal, and the Ring Cycle. A Wagnerian soprano who specializes in the heaviest roles of the Wagner and Strauss repertoire is called a high dramatic soprano. The singer makes a career of such monumental roles as Brunhilde in the Ring Cycle." Close quote. Because of this hyper-specific type of singing required, it's not uncommon for singers contracted to sing these roles to drop out of those productions for health reasons. Being in anything less than tip-top vocal shape is simply not going to work. Unfortunately for the San Francisco Opera, the German soprano Evelyn Herlitzius, who was originally slated to sing the principal role of Brunhilde, backed out due to health concerns just 1 month before the performance. Fortunately, the company was able to find a capable and available Wagnerian soprano to keep the production from falling apart. Irene Teorin, the Swedish soprano, was chosen as Herlitzius's replacement. The fact that Teorin has sung the role of Brunhilde in at least 11 countries was surely a factor in her selection. On top of all the challenges listed so far in staging the Ring Cycle, there's also the pesky fact that it is incredibly expensive to produce. For example, the Metropolitan Opera's 2011 staging was estimated by the New York Times to cost $16 million. That's expensive, but the Met has performed the Ring Cycle over 100 times since 1889 and has a sufficient war chest to keep doing so. Many smaller or newer opera companies can't seem to make those numbers work, however. On the West Coast, for example, the 24-year-old Los Angeles Opera took a huge gamble in 2010, staging its first ever Ring Cycle, and lost. On July 2, 2010, the Los Angeles Times reported that the company spent a whopping $31 million on the production and ended up losing $6 million in the process. Matthew Schilvach, San Francisco Opera's general director, put it bluntly in his own recorded narration of the Ring Cycle, describing the toll it takes on his company. Quote, "The Ring coalesces the talents in a way unlike any other work of art. Its demands on the company are vast, financially, artistically, and in stamina. And its demands on the audience and the community are no less." Close quote. It's almost poetic, in a sense, that the Ring Cycle is so expensive to produce today. Over 142 years ago, the composer himself was almost unable to complete the work due to financial difficulty. It was only after the highly eccentric King Ludwig II swooped in to the rescue, bailing out Wagner's debts and paying him a dependable salary, that he could finally finish the piece. What is it, then, besides the music, which one could listen to in a recording for free, that causes opera companies to keep staging such a lengthy, ambitious, difficult, costly operatic production like The Ring Cycle? Why do artists continue to perform it? And why do audiences keep coming to see it? Francesca Zambello, the director of San Francisco Opera's Ring Cycle, summarizes exactly why in a video produced for this year's performance. Quote, "What's important about The Ring is that The Ring is about us. The Ring is the story of families, our lives, our society, the environment, our government, our economic situation, the world as we know it. Every theme, every idea that Wagner touched upon is very much part of our lives." Close quote. Isn't it true that people love to talk about themselves? If The Ring Cycle is a story about us, it is arguably the greatest story ever told. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Micron, a one-man podcast with short episodes about life, travel, discovery, learning, and failure. This podcast is a work in progress and hopefully, like wine, will improve over time. It's recorded here in my office located in the scorching heat of the Sonoran Desert in Arizona. If you liked this episode of Micron, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or whichever online platform you prefer. If you really liked it, leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. That's the most helpful thing you can do to help me build an audience for this humble little one-man show. If you have feedback you'd like to share or suggestions for a future episode, send an email to feedback@micronpodcast.com. I'm listening to you. Thanks for listening to me. To view photographs, read episode transcripts, or find resources mentioned in the show, visit micronpodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Micron.